There's a Detroit native coming home, and we talked to Tim Twentyman, the winner of a pretty big contest yesterday. It's a Tuesday edition of Locked On Lions.
You are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening, everybody? Locked On Lions, Locked On Podcast Network. We played it on a Tuesday, June 14th, and a Wednesday, June 15th. Thanks for listening, watching, and joining us right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, where we talk Detroit Lions football each and every day. Huge day yesterday down in Allen Park. The first ever media combine, and there was a winner. We're going to get into it with the great Tim Twentyman of DetroitLions.com. Who is the winner of the first ever media combine yesterday? Yes, some legends down there taking part, like Justin Rogers, Dave Burkett, punting a football, Chris Burke, Ben Raven, Brad Galley, Gina Trotman, and more. But Tim was victorious. Thank goodness he beat Carlos Monterez. Nobody's rooting for Carlos. We're going to get Tim on the program momentarily here. Also, there's a new tight end on this team, and he's a Detroit native, and he's a Michigan Wolverine. Where's he been, and where's he headed with the Lions? We'll get into that coming up on the program today. We appreciate you making us your first listen each and every day here on Locked On Lions. Follow me on Twitter, at Derry Speaks, D-E-R-Y Speaks, at Locked On Lions on Twitter, and also the Matt Derry Facebook fan page. And we are on YouTube. So watch the show each and every day on YouTube. Follow us on YouTube, subscribe on YouTube, and get the video version of Locked On Lions on the YouTube channel, the Locked On Lions YouTube channel, each and every day. All right, Lions this afternoon, late this afternoon, announced the signing of one Devin Funchess. Yes, Devin Funchess is still in the NFL at age 29 to a one-year contract. Now, when the Lions made this announcement of bringing Funchess in, they did so as a tight end. Remember, his first 6 years in the NFL, four of them with Carolina, a year with the Colts in 2019, and then he opted out of playing for Green Bay in 2020. It was all as a wide receiver, and it was many early years into his career in Carolina, even going back to his Michigan days where he's pretty darn good, but people said this guy is big enough to be a tight end. And as a rookie with the Panthers in 2015, he had a decent year, but nothing special, catching 31 balls for five touchdowns. And then his third year in 2017 was really kind of his breakout, 63 catches for 840 yards and eight touchdowns. But he never really caught on as being a really high-impact guy, despite coming out of Michigan and being just so good in college. Two times, second team All-Big Ten, was a second-round pick in 2015 of the Panthers, and it never really worked out for him. He ended up going to the Colts in 2019, got injured, broke his collarbone early in that season, and never really played much. 2020 with the Packers, signed a one-year deal for about $2 million and could get up to $6 million in bonuses and incentives. And then once COVID kind of hit and the NFL elected to allow players to opt out for their own safety, Funchess decided not to play. Last year, he was placed on injured reserve with the Packers early in the season, released a couple of days before the start of the season, then signed with the 49ers, got hurt, and was on their practice squad toward the end of the year and then released again in December. But Devin Funchess, to me, when you look at the Lions' tight end situation, right now the backup tight end, if the season started today, it would be Shane Zylstra. All right? Their fifth-round pick, of course, out of Va Tech, James Hamilton, he's hurt right now. Some of the undrafted UDFAs that they really like, the kid from San Jose State, he's hurt. It's TJ Hockenson, it's Brock Wright, it's Shane Zylstra right now. Why not take a flyer on Devin Funchess to see if there's anything left and you put him at tight end? If not, you cut him. This kid had such talent at Michigan. He's a big boy, can really play, but just has never been able to work out at the NFL level on a consistent basis. They're going to give it a shot and see if he can be a backup tight end that will be more of a receiving tight end than a blocker. So, bit of a surprise move, but one that I support. Give it a shot. Maybe he could do something. Last year's tight end group was really nothing special. The Lions, of course, went out and tried a whole host of different veterans, ended up cutting guys. It was basically T.J. Hockenson and Brock Wright. And then when T.J. got hurt, Brock Wright, who was at UDFA last year, ended up starting a handful of games. So they've kind of addressed that issue in the draft. And with the UDFAs, they kept Brock Wright around. And now let's see if Devin Funchess can make any kind of impact and see if there's any football left in him. Tim Twentyman's going to join me coming up next from DetroitLions.com. First, though, we want to tell you about our friends at BlueNile.com. Whether you're ready to pop the question or you're celebrating a milestone moment, find jewelry as unique as her with the modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. Blue Nile is simple online tools that let you choose the diamond shape, size, and clarity, as well as setting style. Blue Nile's bench jewelers will then handcraft her perfect engagement ring. Each ring is one of a kind. Looking for fine jewelry but having trouble choosing? It's easy. Go to BlueNile.com. Their experts are on hand 24/7. Also, make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com. And listeners here on Locked On Lions, you're going to get $50 off a purchase of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement. Use the code Locked On. That's code Locked On. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace. Go to BlueNile.com today. That's Blue Nile, B-L-U-E, Nile.com. Do that today. All right, as promised, we're joined by Tim Twentyman from DetroitLions.com. Covers the team, does a fantastic job. And as we said before, Tim was the first-time winner of the Lions' first-ever media combine yesterday. Don't laugh, Tim. This is big, man. Congrats.
There was not a great collection of elite athletes among the group. No offense to my fellow beat writers, but it's not saying a whole lot. So
who is your biggest threat? Who did you walk in there and go, uh-oh?
You know, Ben Raven, I was a little bit scared of. You know, he played high school ball. The guy, you know, one of the beat writers from MLive, 6 foot, what is he, 6'6"? We got inside on the hoops, and he dunked the basketball. I'm like, okay, here we go. And, you know, big guy, has a pretty big leg and stuff, and kick, you know, field goals and punting was part of it. And I know I've played catch with Ben before, and he can sling a little bit. So he was probably the one that I was most worried about going in.
Who was it, Jeff Risden that dunked the football, or was that Ben Raven over the goalpost?
That was Ben. Yeah, that was Ben.
Wow.
You see, he's got some ups.
Yeah. The picture, the first of all, the Lions did a great job with this. Greg, of course, Solly, Eamon, everybody in PR does a great job, but I love that they did this yesterday, and it was the highlight of my timeline yesterday, but it sounded like, so you had to do a 40-yard dash to win it. Who did you have to race?
Yeah, I have 40-yard dash to do it, to win it. So the competition is you had to throw a football into these little targets, and then you had to catch a punt. You had to kick a punt, farthest one. You had to chip shot from about 55 yards, which, as you know, I know you play a little golf, that's a field shot. A little bit tough. And so after that, you all got points awarded. And then the three-point shoot shot, you had three shots at 3 points. And I was Eric Schlitt, I was tied with, and I from Pride of Detroit. Yeah. And I forget the name of the other gentleman. But they basically said, look, you three guys line up on the goal line, 40 yards. We didn't run them each at one time and time them. They kind of just, it was a race. And I ended up on top, and that's how I put the tie and won.
Wow. Wow. So did you get something like a trophy, an award, anything?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You know, I got a gift card, a Visa gift card, which was very nice of Eamon, you know, to provide. And then they are actually, I don't know if this is, you know, this is kind of a great little add-on on their part, but in the media room, there is an interview room in the back. It's kind of a soundproof room where some of the beat guys will go if they're doing podcasts or on the radio or something like that when it's busy in the media room. And that officially, Matt, will be named the Tim Twentyman Interview Room. That
oh, are you serious?
Of my prize, yes.
Wow. That's pretty big. Obviously, Killer has his own place there, the late, great
that's the media, yeah, that's
Tom
the
Kowalski.
Media room, so. I just get the little padded room in the back.
Yeah, but that's pretty
that's
good.
That's what I get.
That's pretty. Were you?
So it was pretty creative by Eamon and those guys to come up with it.
Was there anybody that was just like the worst? Like, be honest. I mean, I know all these people, but like, did anybody? Yeah. Was there anybody that just did not belong?
Not really.
I was hoping you were going to say Carlos.
No, actually, Carlos was the only guy to get it on the green, actually. I had two shots that both hit were on the fringe. And Carlos, you know, he covered golf at the Free Press, and he plays quite a bit. And he had a nice little shot. So the golf part, it was all Carlos. And, you know, I think he made a three-point shot, and he did all right. There was no one that was – I think he caught his punt. So, yeah, there was no one that really stuck to me like, oh, boy. He does not belong. We are an athlete. Corey Woods, maybe. Wasn't his greatest. The golf and some of the other things, the catching the punt. So maybe that would be one. But I was overall impressed with the athleticism amongst the group, even though it was not elite, which I mentioned off the top.
I'm just a little disappointed we didn't see Kyle Meinke out there.
I know. I think Kyle might have taken his summer vacation a little bit early. Too bad. He would have been sneaky good. He played basketball in high school. He's got that lean frame that maybe could be dangerous.
I could do this all day. Tim Twentyman with me from DetroitLions.com. News of the day here, Tim. Devin Funchess, who, everybody knows around here from Michigan and has the size to be a tight end, but has always been a receiver. And the Lions are throwing a flyer out there. What can you tell us?
Yeah, it makes sense on both parties. I mean, obviously you have T.J. Hockenson, and, he's an upper echelon tight end. But after that, really the depth is kind of figuring itself out. James Mitchell, who the team drafted in the fifth round, he's still, rehabbing an ACL, so he didn't take part in OTAs or minicamp. You expect him to be back around camp, but, that's a maybe. And then, Brock Wright, an undrafted guy who kind of stepped in late last year, but again, an undrafted guy. He shows promise, but, there's some opportunities there behind T.J. Hockenson. So, Funchess has had some success in the NFL. I think he can transition. I don't think you look at him as a blocking type guy, but I think if you're going to bring him in, if you're the Detroit Lions, I think that receiving prowess maybe fits with what you're doing on the outside. Now you've got some speed out there. You expect that to open things up in the middle for Hawk and Swift, and maybe if you can get another guy that can make some plays over the middle of the field, it's worth the flyer. We'll see what he can do in training camp.
It is an interesting position in a battle, I guess, for the two and three spots, really. Like you said, the drafting of Mitchell, some of the undrafted guys I think are decent on this team, but with all the injuries and everything else,
another one to throw in there.
They probably need some depth there. And like you said, it's June. Why not take a flyer on a guy like this?
Yeah, why not? I mean, it doesn't hurt you. You got 90 guys. You're not talking about cutting to 80 until, late August, and then obviously to 53 at the end. So you've got a lot of time. Bring a guy in. Let's see what he can do. You'll notice throughout camp the first week and two, that bottom of the roster is going to change over so much with, guys getting injured and guys becoming available and just things of that nature. So why not take a flyer, see what he can do. If he fits into that maybe receiving type role, kind of like what TJ is, maybe it's a fit and he can find a spot here as a number two or number three.
What stood out to you at minicamp? What's the first thing that maybe you noticed? And I know a lot of eyes were on Ben Johnson in the offense, but I know there were some guys on defense also that kind of stepped up.
Yeah, for sure. I think, defensively, obviously I was excited when, I got a chance to sit down with Todd Walsh early in the offseason and said, hey, look, we're going to go from, a 3-4 kind of read-react defense, which they were last year. And basically that just means as a defensive lineman, you wait to see what the guard does and you step that way. And then now you're playing. Whereas now they're going to even front a 4-3 and it's going to be attacking. What Wash told me is that we're going to play on the heels of the offensive lineman now. So it's getting up the field. It's attacking. Obviously you watched last year, they're 30 sacks for the third fewest in the NFL. And so, they needed to improve that part of it. And I think once they drafted Aiden Hutchinson in the first round, number two overall, and then they got Josh Pasquale, the talented inside outside guy from Kentucky in round two, they were like, okay, look, I think we have this personnel now with Aleem McNeil, who they drafted last year, who's, pretty good player, and Levi Onwuzurike, another guy going into his second year who they think, can be that type of player where he can get up the field. Now you change the scheme to fit kind of the personnel that you have. And so I was excited to watch kind of what that looked like early on. And you know, we have to, caution this by saying it's in shorts and helmets. There's no pads. And so, you know, the physical part of it, you don't see till training camp, but, you know, just the speed, the burst, the attack, the way Aiden Hutchinson could get upfield, move inside, outside, some of the NASCAR packages they did by moving guys around. I thought it was really exciting. And I think Lions fans should be excited for what that looks like when the pads come on. They should certainly take notice of that early on.
Tell me a little bit about where you think this linebacker group is. You know, I talk all the time on the show about there may be at times on the field just one linebacker. If they go, like you mentioned, four or five guys in the front, four or five guys in the back, and maybe there will only be room for one linebacker on the field at times. But how do you look at that group right now?
Yeah, you know, it's a group really competition, I guess, is the word to say, Matt, because there's no guy that's, you know, your $50 million linebacker in that room. There's no guy that's your number one draft pick that, you know, he's the guy, right? You know, Alex Anzalone's a veteran. You know, Derek Barnes coming back from last year, you hope he, you know, shows, you know, some improvement and kind of, you know, picks up where he left off the end of last year. You know, but a name that I'm going to throw out there for you guys to really take notice, and I took notice in the spring, is Chris Board, the veteran linebacker from Baltimore. You know, here's a guy that was a core special teamer for them, and you know, if you're going to play for Harbaugh over there, you are going to have to be good on special teams. And look, he can play in space. He was a guy they brought in nickel and third down packages and was kind of that cover linebacker for them. And look, he's a veteran guy. He's getting an opportunity to play significant minutes, you know, have a three down role here. And I think he eyes that and he's looking toward that. He's got some pretty good skills in space. And don't be surprised at all if, you know, you show up to the training camp day one, day two, and you see Chris Board in that starting lineup with the first team. I thought he was really good this spring, and he's a name to kind of watch out for in that linebacker group.
Want to get a little bit into the offense with Tim. We'll do that coming up next. First, betonline.net, your number one source for all your betting sports, more betting stats and sports info. It's got everything. And included in that, of course, is betting on the NBA Finals, NHL Stanley Cup Finals is coming up, Major League Baseball, the golf this weekend, and more at BetOnline. Find the latest sports developments, news, and odds all there for you at betonline.net, your continued source for all your sports wagering information, live betting, esports, and more. If you're an MMA fan, UFC, yes, you can bet on it there at BetOnline. Head to the website today, use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, it is where the game starts. Tim 21 with me from DetroitLions.com. Matt Derry, Locked On Lions on a Tuesday edition. Tim, offensively, you know, Dan Campbell has said they're not announcing anything yet, might not until the first game on who's going to call the plays. I still think it will be the head coach, but how do you see this offense kind of progressing, and now how different will it look under Ben Johnson, do you think?
Well, it'll look a little bit different, certainly. I think, you know, one of the things we saw early on this offseason was tempo. That was a word kind of thrown out a lot. And it's not so much just playing fast all the time, but just in and out of huddles, the ability if they don't want to huddle. They've changed the verbiage where it's very easy, short, everybody can understand. So those are some of the quick, you know, changes you'll notice offensively, at least I did. And then I think the great thing about what Ben did is – he saw the pieces that he had, and he said, look, I need that speed wide receiver on the outside for this to really click. I've already got one of the, you know, top five offensive lines. I've got speed now. I've got weapons. So what I need to do is now I need my quarterback to play the best that he can play. You know, and we're talking about Jared Goff, the veteran. And what they did was they sat down and they said, look, Jared, you know, what are things you like? What do you like to do? They went back and looked at the Rams tape from 2017, 2018, when Jared was a Pro Bowler and took the Rams to a Super Bowl and, you know, won a lot of big games for them. It was really, really productive. And they've put some of those elements. He's obviously very good at play action. You expect this team to be really good running the football. So I think that was, you know, the biggest thing. And you know, we've talked to Jared Goff this offseason, said, look, I'm really comfortable in this offense. And you could see it. He was slinging it. It was on time. It was in rhythm. And he didn't even have Jameson Williams out there yet. So, you know, I think that's what I just think, obviously, this is a huge year for Jared Goff. And he looks like he was pretty on point. He's comfortable. So I don't think there's going to be any, you know, any excuses at all. It's all built up around him. This offense kind of tailored to him now. He loves it. He's comfortable, and it's got to show results.
You're in the building all the time. Is this a situation where this franchise and this group, Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell, really, really like him? Or is it just, man, that rookie class of quarterbacks this year sucked. The backups aren't great. We don't, there aren't a lot of options. They're not going to trade for Baker Mayfield like Mike Florio wanted them to do. Is it that one, or is it more of, hey, they really do like him?
I think it's the latter. They really do like him. You know, you got to remember, Brad Holmes was in Los Angeles. He was running that draft when they moved up to select Jared Goff's number one overall. I mean, the guy has arm talent, and you saw the end of last year, Matt, when Ben took over, right, and Dan was calling plays. You know, Jared Goff, the last six starts, was 3-2-1 with 11 touchdowns, two interceptions, and 107 passer rating in those six games. It was night and day. And now you've got that comfort level of having those two gentlemen back running it. But now they've also tailored the offense to things that you like. You got to throw out some stuff. Now, obviously, there's some stuff that you know, Ben grew up in, some principles that he's going to put in that he likes, and they're going to run those too. But it was really a collaboration. And so, he's 27 years old. They've put everything around him to succeed. I think we can both agree, and they would have agreed, the wide receiver core probably wasn't the best for him last year. That's not the case you see here this year. That's probably one of the strengths offensively. So really, he's got everything around him, and they think when he was successful with the Rams, that's what it was. They ran the football with Todd Gurley, right? They had a really good offensive line. They had weapons outside, and they were on time in the offense, and they took off, and that's really what they think this can be if they all stay healthy.
Who are you the most excited about on this offense, maybe that makes a leap? It could be a new guy. It could be a guy that's coming back, do you think, for 2022?
Yeah, I got one that jumps out right away to me is DeAndre Swift. You know, I thought he had a terrific spring. And I'll tell you what, Matt, he looks pretty jacked up. I don't know if you saw some of the pictures.
Yeah.
And it's daily joke that he was, you know, I think I smelled some baby oil on Swift out at practice because he was oiling and the gun show up. But he does look bigger. And that was something they talked about in the offseason of him being able to battle through some injuries. He's missing games because of injuries the first couple of years and, you know, bulking up a little bit, but not losing that shifty. And obviously what makes him great in space. And so he looked terrific. And I think if he stays healthy, you know, last year when he got hurt on Thanksgiving, we have to remember he was leading all running backs in receptions at that point. He was a huge part of that passing game. And so, you know, I think with this offensive line, if they can stay healthy and how good they're going to be, I think he can easily get about 1,500 scrimmage yards if he plays in 17 games or 15 to 17 games right there. I think he's going to have all the opportunities to get one-on-one matchups. He's going to be able to run the football. They're going to be better than they were last year in that regard. And they rushed for 1,800 yards and averaged 4.4 yards per carry last year. So, you know, he's a guy I'm really excited about. I think he's going to get a lot of opportunities both in the run game and the pass game because they got so many weapons now. You're just not going to be able to single that many stuff up, Matt. And I think it's going to be real fun for DeAndre Swift to operate in this offense.
Tim, always a pleasure catching up, and congrats, the winner of the first ever media combine down in Allen Park.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So I'm sure you made the rounds today, media-wise.
I'm expecting you to be there next year.
I'm not a beat writer, though. I'm an entertainer.
Guys there.
Yeah, that's true.
Brad Galley and those guys were there. They're not so much beats. I think there were about 20 people there. So right. I'm telling you, get yourself into it.
Eamon, you know, that we were in some discussions, but it never amounted. What we needed is Solly Williams. Solly Williams needed to be out there. That guy, he would have killed it.
Oh, yeah.
Or Wojo. I saw Wojo was there, but why didn't he participate?
I don't know if Wojo would have survived. I would have loved to see him catch the punt, though. I'm going to just admit that one right off the bat.
It's not an easy thing to do. Thanks, Tim.
All right, Matt.
There he is, Tim Twentyman from DetroitLions.com. We thank you for joining us today on the show and have a little fun after winning that contest yesterday. We're back again tomorrow right here on Locked On Lions. Thanks for making us your first listen each and every day right here on the Locked On Podcast Network.